Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
To another episode of Gold Diggers. Please do follow our socials at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and TikTok, and at Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram.
Marva at Marva MSK.
Anita at FLWN _.
Brianna at Shackard.
Mariam at I am Mariam _.
And Shai at Shaikar. So let's get straight into it, guys. It's been a funny week of football. Some midweek games, some weekend games, FA Cup, Champions League. A lot to unpack, but it's only right we start at the Theatre of Dreams, or nightmares, depending on how United fans see their season going, and what we would like to call a Simeone masterclass, in my opinion. Mariam, United now 6 years, 5 years, no trophies. Another round of 16 exit in the Champions League. Bruno still waiting to win his first Champions League knockout game. Like, describe what happened on Wednesday at Old Trafford. What went wrong?
United went wrong. I don't have too much to say. I can't lie, guys. I'm drained and I'm very desensitized. I don't have too much to say. I feel like the first 20 minutes was okay. Like, they played all right. Like, it was decent, but you don't win a game in 20 minutes. Like, it's 90 minutes long. And I just feel like we literally, as you said, a Simeone masterclass, I feel like we played into their hands, literally. As in, we know about all, like, you know, the dark arts, the silly antics. We know about all of that, and we literally did that. And I just feel like you're actually Man United, and you go 1-0 down, and we didn't look like we were going to score again. And I just think that's so disappointing. Not that, like, I'm disappointed that we got knocked out, because I didn't think that we'd go through. But I just feel like there's just so much wrong. And the players as well, they have a lot on their hands, because, like, this is Champions League. Like, do you not care? Do you not have no fight, no urge, nothing? I just feel like they're just an embarrassing bunch. And I can't even say anything positive, because, as I said, you don't win a game in 20 minutes. Like, there's nothing positive really to say. Like, I know I could say, like, Fred did all right, and that was, like, the whole game, but he can't do it on his own. I just think, you know, when you know, like, so much could have been prevented and it wasn't happened, and it's the fact that it's not like we were 2 or 3 nil down, 1-0, bro, like, come on. But yeah, I just feel like so much is wrong. I feel like our backline, it's like, even if you take in, you put in, it's still rubbish. So where do we go from here? So it means that, yeah, I just feel like like, I know everyone says this, so it's quite cliche, but when I say overhaul, I mean it genuinely. Like, overhaul, start from scratch, because it's really disappointing. And you'd think, at least just to give the fans a little bit of something, you know, because top four, I don't see that no more. I don't think that's happening. Like, Arsenal deserve it. But you think for Champions League, a little bit, just go a little bit. Even if we're going to get dumped later, but just something to keep us going, give us a boost, you know what I mean? And even that, we don't have. But yeah, it just comes back to just little mistakes and stuff like that. Like, you have Maguire charging out from his position all the time, just charging to go and win a ball that he doesn't win. Then he vacates his space, and then it's the same thing. So I don't really have too much to say. I just feel like it's just very disappointing. Played into Atletico's hands. Like amateurs. Like, you could see, like, they're very experienced in doing what they're doing, because they do that all the time. How many years have they been doing that for? And then we're just there yeah, playing into their hands, acting like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't have too much to say, guys. I'm going to keep repeating myself. But yeah,
do you just feel like Ragnik is to blame for the way he set you guys up? Given that Athletic are a team, they like to defend narrow. Manchester United for 90 minutes kept the pitch very narrow. Like, what was the point of having Sancho? And then who did you start with? Elanga. You bought on Rashford, and at no point in the 90 minutes did Ragnik try to expand the pitch to cause Atletico any problems out wide where they're the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I feel like he's got a part to play in that, especially when he decided to make the subs. I feel like they were a little bit frantic because it was like, what did the subs even do? Cavani came on, Rashford came on, nothing came from it. But yeah, because I spoke about that, I even spoke about that with someone, and I feel like he's to blame. But then again, like, who Atletico, respectfully, like, we should have been able to just sort that out and just, you know.
I'm put sorry, it in. What did you just say?
I said, who are they? Like, who are they?
They've been to more Champions League finals.
Okay, that's good for them, but I don't, as a team, I don't really respect them. Like, the way they play and everything, it's just, it's very, I don't know, like, they just have an ugly way of playing football. So I don't respect them personally. But, yeah, I guess Rangnick's to blame a little, but I don't know. I just feel like where the scoreline was like that, or even at 0-0, like the game is there for the taking. So, and the quality is there on the pitch. Like, if you match our players against theirs, like, come on, do you know what I mean? So, I can't even blame him too much. Like, this is Champions League. Like, get up for it. Like, it's a knockout game. Do you know what I mean? So, that's why I feel like I don't want to put it too much on his head. But, yeah, I just expect them, whatever it is, like, just get up for it. It's not that deep. As I said, like, we weren't being absolutely packed in. It was 1-0. So, yeah, that's all I have to say, really.
okay, let's do a bit of player focus here, and let's talk about the midfielder that's apparently better than Frank Lampard. So Bruno Fernandes, 28 years old, still no win in the knockout stages of the Champions League. When is he going to perform for Manchester United when it matters?
I don't have the answer to that. I want to know too. And I thought, you know what? Maybe today Bruno's going to come alive, like, big game. Like, you know, he's going to, all this talk he does, you know, he's got a bit of a hot head. He's really passionate. And I thought maybe today, like, he's going to show himself. And, well, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I don't know what it is. And I do feel like if a new manager comes in, like, he might not, not that he might not last, but, like, he'll get found out. And I feel like he has small with Rangnick as well, because I feel like Rangnick wants to do certain things. Maybe he doesn't have the full power to do it. But, like, yeah, I'm not sure about Bruno anymore. I'm not anymore. Sure about him.
So you were sure about him at one point?
No, like, no, I wouldn't even say I was ever 100% sure. But, like, I mean, he's done what he's needed to at times. But I feel when it comes, as everyone knows, when it comes to big games, he's not ever really as effective as you want him to be. The sort of player, like, he wants to be, like, not the main man, but he wants to be one of those, like, when you look at a team, he's going to be one of the first names you pick when you pick the team, but he's not living up to that, so I don't know.
Then who in your team is living up to that? No one. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
I mean, some are trying here and there, but it's a collective effort. Like, they can't do it on their own. Do you know what I mean? It's really inconsistent. I just feel like I think that's just one thing you can say from the beginning of the season to now. Like, we've just had moments. There's not been any point where you say, oh, yeah, like, there's been a lot of progress. Like, yeah, maybe at one point with Rangnick, I actually noticed that there was a little bit of improvement, like, with the way we play and stuff like that, like, the way we attack and stuff like that. And he'd coach this, you know, a 3-0 win and all of that. But everything has just been moments. And I think that's the same with the players. Like, inconsistencies are mad. Like, yeah, very mad. So I feel like when every player just has moments, or they just have patches, like, how you're never going to be consistent. Like, how, yeah, you're never going to be consistent. So I think it's the same with Bruno as well. Like, it's very here and there. It's never like, you know, he's going to play this many games in a row and just be effective. There always has to be a game where he drops. So I don't know, just moments, really. And of course, with moments, you can't build, you can't progress. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not too sure if I'm buying that. Shouldn't the manager have, like, I don't know, some responsibility of bringing that sort of cohesion to the whole group as a whole? And it feels like ever since Ragnik came in, all that he's done is cause a divide, and there's just rumours and leaks going everywhere ever since he's come in. Like, that's all we've seen from Man United since Ragnik's come.
4-2-2-2-2 in 2020.
Like, it's
okay, yeah, but we found that that
doesn't
work,
make sense.
We know that doesn't work. But yeah, I don't think Ragnik's not to blame, but I feel like he's trying at the very least. Like, he's trying. I don't feel like the players have had so much, like, liberty and they've had so much, I don't know, freedom to do so much, especially under Ollie, where there was, like, as someone said, like, it was like he was running a youth club, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, do you know when it's gone beyond that sort of, there's no level of control, there's no like level of leadership, like with Maguire, come on, like, he's not a leader, like, he doesn't, there's nothing about him that alludes to leader, so yeah, that doesn't work. So I feel like Rennick's tried, but I wouldn't blame him entirely, because he's made decisions, like, he's called shots sometimes, and I feel like everyone's like, oh, why is this person dropped? I'm like, but this is what you guys wanted. So I feel like he's tried to do that. And again, he's not here for that, like, bro, he has, what, 2 months left, maybe? Mm-hmm. So he's not been here for that long. And I feel like what he was trying to implement as well, like, it'd take a very, very long time, especially, as I said, our players were so far gone. Like, there was nothing, no style of play. Like, everything is just freedom, like, just freestyle. So, I don't feel like he's caused the divide. I feel like the divide come from players being upset. They're not liking the changes. Maybe they've had to, you know, not even maybe they've had to train harder. You know, when new things come in, not everyone likes it, not everyone adapts. Some players get found out because they can't adapt to whatever has come in. So I don't think that's his fault entirely. But of course, he's the manager, so he's going to get the blame.
Yes.
That's a question. Thank you. So Paul Scholes said something about Thomas Tuchel coming into Man United and that will kind of change the dynamic. Is that something that you personally believe? Or do you think this team is just lost?
I didn't actually know he said that.
Yeah, Paul Scholes said that you can take any manager in Europe apart from Pep and Klopp. They'll be gagging for it.
Wait,
because this is Manchester United.
He means any manager would want to come to United.
Yeah, because this is Manchester United. Those are his words.
I feel like this is Manchester United. I feel like that's fading.
His words, not mine.
Well, I mean, Scholes is just one human. Like, do you know what I mean?
He's also that same human that said that United's defence is better than Chelsea's.
Than Chelsea's, yeah. Mm. Something like that. Don't know. Not too sure.
That was clearly cap. I can't defend Scholes. I'm not sure about that. I do feel like the team is lost. I do feel like they're lost. But, I mean, Tuchel's a great manager. Or, like, maybe he could do his own. But I don't know. I'm trying to see it from a point of view, like, is it an overhaul that's needed? And any manager that comes in can't sort out these, like, this set of players? Or, yeah, I don't really know. I'm not sure about that.
That's fine.
I feel like it's just going to come down to summer for United, because I'm like, this season's basically a write-off for you. Like, obviously, you might get Champions League, maybe, but I doubt it. Next season, it's like Cavani and Ronaldo in their, like, 40s or whatever. Like, we're going to have to figure that out. And then also, it's like Pogba, that whole situation will be sorted by summer. And I just feel like summer, when Rangnick moves up, it's all going to depend on if they actually make the right decisions at board level for the future. But right now, it's like, you can chuck anyone in right now, nothing's going to change. It needs a proper, like, restructuring when it comes to summer.
Oh, no, 100%.
And I don't know.
Because I thought that too, even when Sancho, when we bought Sancho and then Ronaldo decided he was coming, I thought, like, of course you had that little bit of excitement.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're good players. And then I thought, actually, no, you can put anyone in this team. And I remember I said this, like, some months ago, and I said it on the pod, and I was like, you can put anyone in this team and it doesn't really change anything. And everyone is expecting, of course they expect big things from someone like Ronaldo and Sancho. But I'm like, it's actually, when I look at it as well, especially for Sancho, I just feel like it's not entirely his fault as well. Like, I actually feel sorry for him that he made the decision to come to United, because it might be a waste of time. But I feel like Rangnick going, like, moving upwards might be good. I feel like at this point,
like, well, he's identified that Wan-Bissaka, Shaw, Maguire, McTominay are not good enough for Manchester United. So that's a positive, because he's realised that they're fucking shit.
Yeah, I feel like he knows what he wants to weed out. I feel like, and that will influence the next manager, because he's already managed, he's seen everything in the 6 months he's managed. And it's like, I feel like that could be beneficial, but we'll see how it goes.
But then it's like, what if he's wrong?
I don't feel like he'd be wrong. I feel like with some decisions, I feel like he'll be right. I feel like he's seen enough, and I think he's experienced enough to know, okay, I've been able to assess these players from this set of time to this set of time, and it's not cutting it. I feel like they've had enough time. Some of them have had enough time too. Some of them have overdone their stay, because someone like, I guess, Ollie was making false promises and stuff like that. So players were just, they were having a great time, I think. I think now it's time for, like, reality. So there's going to be a reality check for so many players. Harsh realities. They're going to have to, some of them will be very sad, but, I mean, they're not bigger than the club. So, yeah. Guys, this is depressing. I don't want to talk. Can we move on, please? It's making me feel a bit overweight. I don't want
to. Wait until you get to Evan.
Okay, moving on, because you know, when it was the other way around, they're always the first in line, VIP speakers.
Facts.
We have this, this, and this to say about everyone else's club.
I'm not part of it.
Mariam's always been humble. Let's go.
Yeah, thanks, Mama. I don't talk too much. I can't talk too much. What is there to talk about? I don't have smoke for anyone. I don't. I'm like bottom barrel, so I can't. It's a bit embarrassing.
Okay. Anyways, enough about United. Thanks. There was another midweek game. Arsenal hosted Liverpool at the Emirates Stadium. 2-0 defeat. Expected, but surprised by the manner in which we lost? Or do you think we tried enough? Do you think we made it hard enough, Brianna?
I think that it was similar in style in terms of the loss to the loss that we had against City. Like, I don't want to say too much before I get caught, but I wasn't surprised, to be honest. I wasn't surprised. I tried to do a bit of like faux excitement, faux like optimism last week, but it, like, at the end of the day, Liverpool are a different class. I think that I'm just trying to think back to the game, like, I just tried to block it out. I think that one of the things I was unsurprised about particularly was that we didn't look like scoring. Unsurprising when you have a striker that isn't a striker. And it came back to bite us, definitely, that game. I think that we didn't cause them any problems on either wing. Robertson and...
What? Did we?
Martinelli had a
Martinelli, sorry, we didn't cause him a problem on Robertson's side, but Trent's side, Trent was having a bit of trouble with Martinelli. I think I've mixed up the
it's
two
coming
games.
Back to you
it's coming back, it's coming back. Yeah, Martinelli was our shining light, definitely, that game. He had, I would say, like, one of the best games of his this season. And I think he was probably the only sort of outlet for us in terms of, like, being in the final third, looking like, you know, he could make something happen. But I'm just, I don't really have too much to say about that game because it's just entirely...
Because you lost.
Because we lost. But also because it's just entirely foreseeable that when we play the big teams, we don't have enough because we don't have a class striker. Like, that actually is what it is.
But then in the game, the manner in which we conceded the goals, I think... Ramsdale, I think that's the worst keeping I've seen this season.
Yeah.
There's no way on God's green earth that Jota shot should have went in.
Mendy saves that.
Mendy's a better keeper.
Yeah, I'm just happy to hear you say it.
Why would I never say
I'm
that?
I'm just happy to hear you say it and just speak on behalf of some of the Arsenal fans that have tried to contest it. That's, that, all, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy. It's like the ones that were arguing can cut it.
Oh, sorry. Just for context, I wish Team was here. People were talking about Partey being a better footballer than Kante.
Now, who said that?
No, fact, your fellow that's, Arsenal congregation.
I had to go on there and defend Kante because it was just crazy. So, yeah, let's go back to that. If, let's say, the difference in the game, right? The Odegaard chance, Alisson made sure that stayed at 0-0. Mm-hmm. And then you compare that to the Jota chance. If Ramsdale saves that, does it become 2-0 with the Bobby one? Because for both goals, his positioning was perfect, to say the least.
I think that the positioning issue is why, like, he does have to put in the extra vim to be doing those extraordinary saves sometimes. Like, his positioning is, it can be a bit, and usually it doesn't look, it doesn't shine through because he manages to, like, get the saves in. But that particular game, like, it did kind of show. But then again, I'm not gonna lie, as much as we had goalkeeping mistakes, we weren't winning, like, regardless. I feel like they would have scored anyway. That, it, not to say that he shouldn't have done better, because he should have done much better, but...
I'm not sure if Liverpool would have scored anyway, if I'm being real with you. I don't think Liverpool had a great game, personally. I think Liverpool probably had a 7 out of 10 game max.
I agree.
For Liverpool, though.
Yeah, literally, like, 7 out of 10 game.
Again, even if it was Liverpool, right... That first half that we had, especially that first half that Partey had, in my opinion, because he kept Fabinho and Thiago at bay for an entire 45. We shouldn't have went into half-time at 0-0. You can't do that against these teams. And then whilst I hear, Arsenal can't compete with Liverpool as of right now, the mentality thing that, oh, it's Liverpool anyways, it doesn't matter. We can't keep thinking like that forever. We're never going to beat these teams.
I agree in terms of like forever, but I'm like, it is a slow process, and you guys have trusted in Arteta, and it's paid off for now.
I won't get into it somewhat,
and I'm like, you're clearly also going through a bit of a transition in terms of you've got rid of Aubameyang, like your main striker. But really, what positions do you need for summer in terms of first 11? I'm not even talking about depth, but first 11.
We need a striker.
You're pretty solid, and you'd be able to compete with.
I agree.
Like teams like that, and the fact that you're just beating like any team you're supposed to beat right now is like, that gets you most of your points. That will get you into top four no problem if you beat all the teams that you're supposed to beat. If we're talking now competing for titles, competing for third, second, all right, fair enough, but I'm like, chill guys, like this is a decent season for you guys.
I'm not gonna lie, like that, as Guy says on Twitter, this is harsh reality notice. This is where you guys are. You guys play one match a bloody week. The least you can do is give Liverpool a better game than that. Liverpool didn't even have to shift into the next gear. Liverpool, literally, into second half, they said, you know what, we're kind of bored. Let's try and bring on Mohamed Salah. Let's see what happens. Jota was stinking. You lot let him score. I was even looking at my screen like, this can't be happening. Then I remembered... This is Arsenal.
Yeah.
Do you guys have had a good run?
The top teams, what we do, where the gap between us and Chelsea is. Yes, there's a gap in quality. But Chelsea against the Liverpools and the Cities, they will play them on the pitch for 90 minutes. Mm. Arsenal will play the Liverpools and Cities on the pitch for 50 minutes. You can't, because even in the games that we've been good against the Leicesters, the Wolves, the Villas, we've played good for 60 minutes. Sometimes in this game, for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, we just sit there and defend because we're better than them. But Chelsea are not Liverpool or City level yet, but they match them for 90 minutes. And that's why they struggle to beat Chelsea or to break down Chelsea. Arsenal and Arteta's problem at the moment is we can't keep playing the top teams for 60 minutes. Because what's the point of going to the Champions League?
Yep.
That game for me is a preview of how the Champions League can go for Arsenal.
It will go worse.
That's the pamming you guys are gonna get. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I want to talk about it.
House reality gnosis. I can't wait. I want you guys to meet Bayern Munich again.
Again?
That 10-2 is not enough. Because Arsenal fans, for these last 4-5 weeks, I haven't been able to breathe. I have not breathed. Oh, every time I speak, oh, but we're gonna catch up to you. Oh, it's gonna be 2 points behind you if we win all our games at hand. Blah, blah, blah. Look now. I'm actually so frustrated. And I don't care. You guys aren't beating us. I can't. I'm not going to lie to you. You're not going to beat us.
Do you not still but play each other?
We have to play each other. Oh, that's the other game in hand. You're not going to beat us. I cannot stress how happy and relieved is that the shackles were taken off of my shoulders when you guys lost. The harsh reality finally kicked in for so many Arsenal fans. You guys have had a good season. Yes. Out of the FA Cup, out of the Carabao Cup, no Europe. What do you expect? You have quality players there that can fight for a top four spot when you have no other factors there. But next season, that's where it's going to get really interesting, because then we're going to see where you guys are really at. And I'm just happy that you guys have now been humbled. And a lot of people are going into this Chelsea match a bit more cautious. That's what I like to hear. Anyway.
I'm just a bit confused because...
Were they supposed to be challenging for the title?
Yeah. We were, and we're not anymore. I think you guys should come to 2022 because we've left it in 2021.
This
okay?
Is,
I'm tired. Bree doesn't speak.
This is not over.
Yeah, I don't know what Bree's smoking in it. Whatever Bree's smoking, I want in it. That's what I can say.
Okay.
I just think that it's funny how
oh,
you...
God.
No, hold on, though. Because...
I just think it's funny.
You guys, especially Anita, are having so much room for Arsenal today, but if you're not bothered by us and you're not bothered by Arsenal being 5 points behind you, why were you so happy that we lost? We shouldn't be a threat to you. Why do you care about what our results are?
I just said harsh reality notice for your fans. I've told you, I've been up to here to my neck because Arsenal fans think they're on level with Chelsea. I've been seeing comparisons that are not meant to...
if you guys were on the run that you were on, do you think Partey would be in a conversation with Kante right now? Your fans are putting Partey and Kante in conversations together. Edouard Mendy and Aaron Ramsdale have been in conversations since the start of the season. Aaron Ramsdale made a few picture-perfect saves at the start of the season. He was now in talks with Edouard Mendy. Why is that? You know, like...
I'm not taking a cooking on behalf of anyone else.
No. The thing is, yeah, the harsh reality is the majority of your fan base, yeah, when you guys sniff victories, it's like a dog with a bone. Like, you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And then once that Liverpool match came, yeah, a lot of people were like, oh, it's just Liverpool. But if I go through your tweets from, not you guys, people, I'm talking to you. If I go through your tweets, yeah, leading up to that Liverpool match, y'all were confident. You guys were confident thinking you can G with the big boys. And now the big boys showed you exactly what this is. Like, this is a different level. Liverpool and Man City, different level. And so is Chelsea. Chelsea is right here. Man City and Liverpool are here. Arsenal's there. No. We don't need to.
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay. Manchester City is here. Mm-hmm. Liverpool's there. Chelsea's here.
No.
I'm not having it.
We are the champions of Europe.
No, they're not.
City, Liverpool, Chelsea.
Okay. Do you know what I'm not going to hear? I'm not going to hear the gap between Liverpool and Chelsea. You know? I'm not going to hear the gap. I'm going to admit, Man City is clear of everyone. Okay? Man City clear of everyone. Liverpool's here. Chelsea's there.
Liverpool can still win the league. They beat you guys in the Carabao Cup final on penalties.
But you know, we went toe to toe.
They got the trophy. Okay? They can win the Premier League title and they're in the Champions League quarterfinals.
Yep.
They have a chance to wrap up every single trophy available.
Do you want me to be shameless right now?
Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Let's show you a clip, please.
Chelsea and Liverpool went toe-to-toe in that final and we got a goal. I don't care what no one says. Lukaku scored. We got a goal that was legal. A legal goal. So technically, Chelsea should have won.
So it was legal.
I'm not done. Chelsea should have won. Okay? We got a legal goal, right? Secondly, if we're keeping it G, Chelsea can still win the title too. Mathematically impossible. Because you guys are trying to create this divide.
You guys are trying to create a divide.
But it's not even that big. Chelsea can still win the league. We're not going to win the league. But at the end of the day, we are only, what, like 9-10 points behind Liverpool, right? Mm-hmm. Arsenal, 5 points behind Chelsea. Mm-hmm. You guys can still win the league. Like, anyone can win the league right now.
If the gap between Liverpool and Chelsea is 10 points,
yes,
and the gap between Arsenal and Chelsea is 5 points,
then we need
how
to
are Arsenal
these
not close to
hand placements?
As in, when you guys play each other, when you guys play Liverpool, you can see the gap. When you play Manchester City, you can see the gap. When we played Liverpool, no one could see that gap. Like, you can say that. No, you could all you want, but no one can see that gap because when we were going toe-to-toe, were people not tweeting, this is the best final we've ever watched in the Carabao Cup, blah, 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 blah. A lot of people were tweeting it, and even the commentators at the end, they said it.
The was United and Sunderland, 3-2, goals galore.
In the Carabao Cup?
Yeah, was it not United and Sunderland? 3-2.
Was that in the Carabao Cup?
Whatever one it was, where they still had Gabardini and them.
It was the Carabao Cup.
Ibrahimovic scored.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Sorry. The best 0-0 final in the Carabao Cup. I will keep rephrasing it because Chelsea and Liverpool and Man City, they are in their own category. Everyone else is. We are.
If you guys were, you guys will still be in the title, and you're not.
I'm not saying we're on par with them. I'm just saying we're just there. Like, we're sneaking up behind them. We are right behind them.
Liverpool
in
and
quality.
Man City are in the VIP section. Yeah. Chelsea are the people that service the VIP section.
So what do you guys do? Make our shoes.
We do not compare ourselves to Liverpool and City.
But the thing is,
we're with them.
The thing is, all I'm saying is, yeah, there's not as big of a gap whenever they play each other. The only team I can say is clear of Chelsea is Man City. And I'm sure Liverpool can probably say that Man City is clear of Liverpool as well. Like, that one is objective. It's subjective to them too. Like, I'm not going to speak for their fan base, but it's subjective to them too. Like, some Liverpool fans can sit here and say that Man City is clear of them. They're not going to win the league, whilst others will say that, no, they're quite on par.
But that's more of a comparison there.
Wait till Man City.
Chelsea.
That's why they're so humble.
Man City? Yeah, that's why they're humble. But Chelsea. Chelsea, I'm telling you, like, we're not that far off of Liverpool and Manchester City. We, maybe because we dropped out of a title race in December where we had injuries and COVID and we played the most games out of everybody in the top five, top six, top, in fact, everybody in the Premier League. Fine. That's when we dropped our form. Cool. But we are the champions of Europe. We are champions of the world. You cannot sit here and tell me, and we're in another semi-final, we're going to Wembley again. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that Liverpool and Man City are clear and we're closer to Arsenal. We're not.
No one said.
No, you're not closer to Arsenal.
Jesus, so then why did we bring up points about Arsenal being 5 points behind?
Because
why was that
you
up?
Said that Arsenal was way off and you guys were like...
We're not way off. We're not way off. And I will go to my grave and say that we're not way off of Liverpool and Man City till this day. We're not.
Okay. We'll pause that and we'll revisit that when we get to Chelsea.
Fine.
Let's continue with the Arsenal conversation, main character syndrome over there.
Don't worry. Harsh reality notice. I'm here to dish it all out. And you, Brianna, from last week, what I saw you did to Tima and Brie, today I'm not going to be on your neck. I'm going to be stepping on your neck today.
I'm chilling anyway, because as I say every week, I expect nothing from Arsenal and I'm still disappointed. So it's not me that's feeling any type of way about this, because I feel like this all the time when I watch Arsenal. I know that essentially the extra gear that we need to get to. Anyway, if I talk about this manager, but yes.
So, Brie, your defeat midweek. All the ops were watching. Everyone was happy. They said, this is where Arsenal's bad run is going to start. They're not going to beat Villa. They're going to drop out the top four. We go to Villa Park. 1-0 win, Bukayo Saka. Could have been more if we had a striker. How do you sum up that lunchtime kickoff?
Thank you to God's son once again. Saka, I need to heap more praises on. Like, honestly, we don't talk about how good he is because he's so consistent with it enough, I find. Like, I need to just have some extra, like, Saka praise because... Honestly, without him, and just in general, without the youngsters, I would say, like, without him, without Smith Rowe mostly, we don't look like scoring at all. Like, it's honestly quite terrible. And when I think the biggest takeaways that I had from that Villa game, honestly, is just like we have to be so much better than the other teams we're playing because the referees and the standard of refereeing in this league. It's as if they want to ensure the downfall of Arsenal Football Club, and I'm not joking.
Let's be real, In Brennan's defence, the referee showed a yellow card to Granit Xhaka. He went 1-2-3. Xhaka committed one foul the entire game. How is that not an agenda against Arsenal players?
You get a yellow card for persistent fouling and you foul once. Like, to be honest, I feel like this needs to be addressed aside from agenda. It was like when everyone used to be on Klopp, when Klopp was complaining about sort of fixture congestion, and for the good of the league, like, it was we'll come to that, but for the good of the league, it was correct complaining because it affects everybody at some point. The standard of the refereeing in the Premier League, when it gets to the referees at Stockley Park, the actual referees on the pitch, it's terrible. Like, the standard of the refereeing in the league is shocking.
Did you see the Leeds Wolves the other day, the sending off?
Yeah, the second
yellow. Perfect.
That was terrible.
Just like, not even a foul, let alone a second yellow.
I don't know how we...
Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. But they need to shut up.
I don't know how we solve it. Like, I feel as if it's a tough situation because you can't criticise the refs. No one can criticise the refs. The refs are wrong. Everyone knows the refs are wrong. But anyways, all that to say that I don't like when refereeing decisions are talking point of the game because it either means that we were a bit mid or the referee overshadowed the game in some way. And I think that we should have, as you said, like, we should have scored more. I think that's down to entering the second half of the season with zero world-class strikers, which is an interesting strategy. And I think that, you know, next season we can only hope that we get a world-class striker in to solve that. I think that in all other areas of the pitch, we saw a Xhaka Partey masterclass, which was great, but it was Villa. Once again, my Coutinho agenda prospers because he was absolutely mid.
Do you think Ming should have saw red for the challenge on Saka?
We've seen it given.
Xhaka against Manchester City.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the season. Aubameyang against Crystal Palace at home. That was the end of last season? Or the season before that? Red means yellow.
The commonality is that the red was given to the Arsenal players. Like,
oh, so boo fucking who, man.
Do you not think that's a red card?
God.
Honesty, we do need to see referees protecting players more, because when I see things like that, it just reminds me of how, it's been a historical thing with Arsenal. Refs let other teams absolutely kick the living hell out of us, and then we get injuries like Ramsey's, like Diaby's, and it's just not good in general in terms of, like, getting superstars seriously injured in English football.
I'm so sorry, but I hate to... No, because you guys are going to say MCS, so let me not.
What's MCS?
Main character syndrome, so...
Well, no, go on. Say what
are you going to bring up the Hazard?
Yes, because when Hazard was getting kicked for 7 seasons straight and we were talking about this, no one was saying nothing. Everyone was just like, oh, but he's the best player in the league anyway, so he can blah, 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 blah. Like, no one was saying Hazard got no protection.
Because if you look at Eden Hazard now, that's the whole reason why he can't play.
And it's a serious problem now, because now Eden Hazard's injured. No one else wants their team to get it now. That's why it's a serious problem. But when Chelsea was bringing it up for 7 years straight, Jose Mourinho complained, Conte complained, Hazard complained. No one wanted to talk about it then. But now God's child is being injured. Let's all cry.
I don't think it's a Saka thing. Man. I just think the fact that Saka came out post-game and he said...
And I respect that, by the way.
He didn't complain about the card. He just told the ref it's in his game to take people on. And he's tired of being kicked, he needs more protection. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. Because in the long term, you're affecting people's careers here. Mm-hmm. And then when they're like 29 or 30, and their ankles no longer work because they're 6 surgeries deep, everyone be like, oh, they're rubbed, they're washed, they're this. Mm-hmm. It has an effect and we need to cut it out.
I don't think it's a problem. I think that this should have been addressed years ago. Like, I'm genuinely with you. It should have been addressed years ago. But it's funny how now it's happening to people's teams when they've got like that superstar person in their team. Now everyone's finally seeing the light, seeing what Chelsea fans were complaining about all this time. Like, I just find it funny, honestly. And it also happens to Chelsea still. Hakim Ziyech, when he played against Newcastle, his ankle got battered, but he's the one that got the yellow card. No one got a yellow card against him. Guimarães goes down once. Ziyech gets a yellow card. For what? You know, like, at the same time, Arsenal fans, you are kind of doing MCS too, like, always talking about how it should be reds for Arsenal, but it's not. But I hear it, because you guys have had situations, but it's not only you lot going through it,
innit? It's strange, like, to say no one was talking about it, but Diaby was before Hazard. Like, we have been talking about it since
Diaby. I think everyone blamed you guys' medical stuff, to be fair.
What? No, Diaby used to get clamped all the time. We used to play Stoke and we used to play Sunderland and those teams, and they used to absolutely stick their feet in and the refs used to do nothing. We've been complaining for literally decades. Like, to be fair, I have nothing against players complaining that refs aren't protecting them in those situations, because you end up seeing situations where you lose that style of play because the players that can do it don't have working joints. Like, it's actually insane.
Their joints actually do stuff. That's the saddest thing. Like, free Eden Hazard, man. It's just sad.
But Hazard also has some personal responsibility to take for certain things.
See, here we go again. Because if I, we're not going into it.
Don't think it's responsible to enter preseason the way he enters preseason.
But what, living his life, living a good life after a long season of just hard
very
work.
Overweight.
It's Marion, please. We'll talk about Shaw. Like, let's not do this, darling. Let's not go there.
You can talk about any United player you want. I don't... Like, they're not me. I don't care if you want.
I'm just saying. I just see you there whispering a little bit. I'm just like, listen, we can bring Shaw into this as well. Like, let's bring Lukaku into it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Bring Lukaku into it. Like, come on. Like, we can do a lot here.
But Lukaku's now your player.
That's fine. I've already been saying it for back in the day. Like... There's just something there.
Maybe because you love Hazard so much, it's a bit hard to digest. But he's
it is hard to digest. But the thing is, yeah, he was doing that for 7 years straight, and when he was bodying all of your teams, no one was complaining about his weight then. You know, so what?
Well, people were, but anyway.
Nah, not 5 years ago. No one was complaining about him coming overweight. No one was complaining.
Didn't his manager say it?
Who?
At least
how? Wait. What year are we in now? 2022. So wasn't it like 2017 or 2018 that someone complained that, like, one of his managers complained that he was overweight? Am I bugging?
Which manager?
I don't remember the Chelsea manager in 2018. My brain's
gone blank. Conte, no, sorry.
Conte. If it was Conte, then it wasn't Conte.
I feel like sorry.
It probably was sorry. Well, Sarri was complaining about the health of the entire Chelsea squad.
I know Real Madrid complained about it.
Madrid complained.
I feel like he's been caught for it before while he was at Chelsea, but anyway.
Yeah, people have discussed it. I don't think it's something that's gone... It's not any...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Major in it.
Yeah. It's okay. Nothing major because he still performs, but now he's not performing, it's a problem though.
Lastly, on Arsenal, a player that deserves praise because his first season was absolutely horrendous for the price tag and for what we know him to be at Atletico Madrid, Thomas Partey.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about him now, Brianna?
I feel that he's finally sort of growing into the role. I think partially it's because we are tactically better now in games. Mm. I think that the Xhaka partnership is working really well for him.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to ask, is it a double pivot or is it a single pivot?
It's a single
pivot. It's a single. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to ask because people were driving me crazy earlier.
And I think that it works because Xhaka, like, and as people have been saying for a while, he's not a DM. So, like, having Xhaka trying to sit deep when he can't defend and, like, he receives the ball on his left foot and if he can't shift it on his left foot, then it's curtains. That was a recipe for disaster. So now that Partey's taken over that role without having to essentially, like, cover for Xhaka's shortcomings there, It's looking a lot better on him. He has a lot more freedom. I saw him, like, putting in some good passes as well, like, from deep. Like, I've really enjoyed watching him. I think that he's gone from strength to strength. At the beginning, obviously, we had sort of an issue with an injury with him. Like, he sort of was injured and then Arteta put him back on the pitch and then he had to limp off the pitch again. And that all of that sort of, along with the price tag, kind of clouded the perception that we had of Partey. He got cooked a lot. But I'm just good to see him. I'm happy to see him. I don't know, sort of showing himself to be the world-class, in my opinion, world-class midfielder that he is.
Anissa?
I don't have no comment.
So you don't think he's world-class? I didn't say he was better than Kante, I said he's world-class. Like, why are you laughing?
I just think world-class is a big word for Partey right now. I mean, I think he has world-class capabilities and he can 100% maintain a world-class status in a couple of seasons' time, but I think it's just a bit premature for right
now. If he wasn't playing at Arsenal, you wouldn't say that. If he was no, still I would playing still at
Atletico. Did you have Partey as world class when he was at Atletico?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Then no, like, honestly, I didn't. Like, if you go back on my team, I got cooked for me saying I don't want him in a Prem. Like, I said I didn't even want him on my team. But I think he does have the skill set and in his locker to become a world class player. When he ain't shown it at Atletico, but the sample size at Arsenal is still a bit minute for
it's
me.
Just consistency as well.
Yeah.
It's, if he continues like this into next season and through next season, then fair. But he's still like, he's had what, like a few games consistently?
Well, sample size.
His journey has been up and like, down. Like, is in consistent. Great games.
He's been good since December.
I mean,
It's March, and how many games do you guys play a week?
That doesn't matter.
I'm just saying it's probably just like, what, 7 games?
Doesn't matter. I don't even want to hear sample size from Chelsea fans.
But it's
true. 3 months into Mendy becoming in the league, you guys called him the best goalkeeper in the world.
No, he didn't.
Yes, oh!
What, yeah, last season?
Still, I can't lie.
You didn't hear it from me.
So why do we have to get cooked on behalf of everyone else then?
No. Listen, we were here together debating Ramsdale and Mendy earlier this season, were we not? Talking about distribution, talking about ball playing, goalkeeper, etc, etc. You were hosting, darling. Yeah.
Then I'm not even
involved,
I was hosting.
No, because you were talking about, don't you need a ball playing goalkeeper, Ramsdale's distribution, blah, 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 blah.
I learned from the master to play devil's advocate.
But all I'm saying is that comparisons were made earlier on. If you want to talk about three months into seasons, then we can do it, but I'm telling you, like, for me, it took a while for me to say Mendy's world class, and it took until I think semi-finals of the Champions League where he was up against Benzema, and without Mendy, Benzema would have probably dusted us, you know? Like, that's when I started to say, like, nah, this guy's the real deal type of thing. But before that, I was thinking we only have Kepa to compare him to, so everyone was a bit overhyped in it, but...
Okay, let's move on. Arsenal go into the international break in fourth place. 1 point clear of West Ham, and I think now 3 points clear of Tottenham because they did beat West Ham 3-1 today at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and 1 point clear of Manchester United, if I didn't say that already.
Why is that problem?
I thought the gap was bigger, to be fair. No.
Is it not?
No, it's 1 point. It's not 1 point. We won. It's 4 points.
Is it four?
Yeah, 4 points United.
4 points United.
Three points Tottenham. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Same level of games played.
Game in hand on both.
Game in hands on both.
Interesting.
Anyway, moving on. Chelsea, another semi-final, another FA Cup win. How many semi-finals is this in a row for Chelsea? Years back, like football, I'm sure you're like on 8 or 9.
I have no idea. We've been to so many. I have no idea.
You guys drew Crystal Palace.
Yep.
Do you see Chelsea making another FA Cup final?
Yep, 100%. I don't think I have a doubt in my mind about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, big up to Vieira and the football that he's playing with Crystal Palace, but I think Chelsea are currently on a upward trajectory right now. So I think we're unbeaten in our last 6 or 7. I'm not too sure about what the exact stat is, but I think we're unbeaten in the last 6 or 7. If we exclude the Liverpool final, I think we've been unbeaten this entire year, really. I don't think we've lost this year. Correct me if I'm wrong. No, we haven't lost this year. So, yeah, we're on an upward trajectory, and I can only see us getting better. Right now, we're doing really well, especially considering the circumstances we're under, and especially considering that our forwards are kind of... I want to say they're getting better, but I want to say that they have a bit more confidence. Like, they have more confidence to more room to kind of play the way they want to play, especially Kai Havertz, especially Hakim Ziyech. Romelu Lukaku has an asterisk, but he's getting in a groove of things a bit better. Christian Pulisic is getting better. Mason Mount's getting better. But let's just see how that match goes, because at the end of the day, if we don't have fans in a Wembley stadium, that could impact the match. So there's always that too. But yeah, as of right now, I'm confident that we're going to a final.
Confident. Okay. And Champions League draw. Sorry, I am. Real Madrid again.
Yeah.
This time round, a different look Madrid, would you say? Carlo Ancelotti, younger midfield, not the one that's like called by an age of like 95. Cruz, Modric and Casemiro. And then an informed Benzema up top. How do you see it going this time round? And a burn above the, I think, is that 3/4 capacity?
Yeah. I think a lot of Chelsea fans are, like, after the draw, I saw so many Chelsea fans say, yes, we got Madrid, like, yes. And in my head, I was still thinking, like, oh, this is okay. I would have preferred Benfica or Villarreal. You know, I would have preferred them too. But one thing Chelsea fans need to realise is, this is Carlo Ancelotti. We know Carlo Ancelotti. We know how great he is at in-game management. And even if he does play the midfield with the combined age of like 95 or 100, like the fossil fuels, even if he does play them, I've been a firm believer in quality is just is always going to be an aspect of Modric, Kroos, Casemiro. Like, it's always going to be an aspect for them. And if Carlo Ancelotti needs to make them in-game changes like he did against PSG and Camavinga came on, and then they just got more control of the game, he will do that. Like, he doesn't give a heck who you are. If you're not working against Chelsea's tactics, then he's going to take you off and bring someone else that can possibly hurt Chelsea. So that's where the difference is, and that's where I think Chelsea would possibly need to look out for. I'm not entirely confident, but I still think we can beat them, but it won't be like last time.
They're definitely beatable, though. Like, PSG were, like, they gifted them that. It wasn't what until, like, one whole game, and then until, like, the 63rd minute of the second, literally. Like,
Poch tax.
But surely on that, though, you would be fearful that Benzema doesn't need much to put the ball in the back of the net.
The thing is, yeah, we know this. Like I mentioned earlier, Benzema, like, up against Mendy, like, it was reality TV. Like, it was nice to see. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was,
he's
like...
He's gone once, no? Surely.
Benzema picked the ball out of the air, brought it down, and went... bang. And it was just like, where did that come from? Like, where did that come from? He can deliver anything out of nothing. Something we want Romelu Lukaku to do, but fans are telling me I'm asking for too much. What? Do you know what I'm saying?
He picks the ball out of the air, hamstring gone.
Even picks the ball out of the air, it's just a stretch.
It's just a stretch. And this is why Tima has blood on her hands, yeah? Because when I told Tima, like, you want your striker to be able to do things, yeah? Like, pick balls out of the air, like, create around you, stuff like that. I see Benzema doing it. Does Benzema have two heads? He doesn't have two heads. And that's what I'm saying. He is the difference between Real Madrid winning or losing the PSG tie and winning or losing our Chelsea tie. He's going to be the difference. And he was the difference in the first half when we played the first leg when we played against Real Madrid. People are making so much noise. But yeah.
Another question then. Reece James. If he is out, and you've got the likes of Vinicius Jr. against Chelsea's wing-backs, or full-backs, depending on if Tuchel plays with a four, or a five at the back. If Tuchel plays with a four or a five at the back,
yeah.
How do you see that potential matchup going?
We're in soup. Like, we're actually in soup. Chelsea fans, listen to me carefully. Aspilicueta of Vinicius Jr. is going to be comedy. Like, it's going to be really funny. And lately, if you guys have noticed, Trevor Chalobah's been making serious errors. And if you're going to put a fast defender on that right-hand side up against Vinicius Jr., it will probably be Trevor Chalobah, or hopefully if Christensen's not injured, it'll be Christensen, right? But let's say Christensen's injured, because he's injured right now, right? Trevor Chalobah has to come in and take that spot. We're in soup. They're going to get three penalties max. Like, we're actually going to be in soup. So I hope Reece James is back, because if Reece James is back, that's another attacking threat for us, meaning that Vinicius Jr. will have to be a lot more cautious. But if it's Aspilicueta, he's catching... Vinicius Jr. is catching him, and then all that's left is Trevor Chalobah to take on, and take-ons on Trevor Chalobah right now is not where it's at. So,
but I'm a bit nervous. In favour of Chelsea, though, in between your Real Madrid ties, you've got Brentford, Southampton, and Palace. That's not compared to Liverpool, who have City, United. It's not bad. That, like, Tuchel can rotate and fix, work with that.
Wait, who do we have? Brentford.
So you have Brentford at home.
Yeah.
Then you play the home tie to Madrid at the Bridge.
Yeah.
Then you go to Southampton away, Madrid away, and then Palace at home.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on the fatigue of the players. Like, I'm not gonna say that we have it easy in between, but even though on paper we do have it easy, like, I'll be real with you, we have it easier, way easier than Liverpool. But like you guys said, Liverpool's way up there, so they should be able to handle it, right? They should be able to handle it. But without me being bitter, I do think we have more of a chance than Liverpool do. But then you've got to look at the opposition, though. Like, no disrespect to Atletico Madrid, they're a solid team, and they dismantled.
No disrespect to them.
Disrespect to Atletico Madrid, but they dispatched with of Man United quite comfortably, because they didn't really have to do much in that game. And it's not going to be the same kettle of fish with Liverpool. So I think Liverpool will probably be able to get through to them quite easily in the first half and kind of in the first leg and kind of put that to bed.
Liverpool playing Benfica.
Benfica?
Yeah.
I thought they were playing Atletico.
No, Man City are playing Atletico.
Man City are playing Atletico and Liverpool are playing Benfica.
Yes.
What's Liverpool's fixtures?
Liverpool play City twice. They'll play City twice, FA Cup, Premier League. And then in between that, Man City will play Atletico home and away.
So then why are we talking about Liverpool's difficulty if they're playing Benfica?
I was talking about Chelsea's difficulty.
Oh, I thought you was comparing it to Liverpool's.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You brought Liverpool to the conversation.
Yeah, let's scrap everything I've just said. I'm so confused. Like, I'm really confused.
Should we start again?
So City have the what?
City will have, let me tell you exactly. So Man City are playing Atletico Madrid. And they're playing Liverpool and Man United. That's City's fixtures. City season can end in a week.
Okay.
Let me tell you exactly. So,
that's crazy.
Here we go. Cool. Man City, right? They are playing Burnley away, Atleti home, Liverpool home, Atleti away. Then after that, they could be playing Liverpool or... Forest in the FA Cup, depending how that tie goes.
Yep.
And then they got Wolverhampton Wanderers away.
Okay. So, in comparison with Chelsea's, Chelsea clearly do have the easier run, right?
110%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Just out of curiosity, though, like, Chelsea aren't... Is this, like, sort of talking about Chelsea going for second or first?
I don't know, I'm confused.
No.
Just run
Chelsea,
games.
Chelsea ain't making that.
Okay. Just wanted to make
mathematically. Sure. Mathematically. No, I'm joking. Yeah, we're not making that. But I do think that we do have an easier run, but it doesn't mean that our opponent changes. You know, like we still got Real Madrid and they're still a tough team. So
if you do get past Real, though, it's one of Villarreal or who's the last team in Madrid?
Villarreal.
Playing.
I think we should get up the ties because now I'm confused. I'm so confused. I was really thinking Liverpool was playing Atletico, and I was smiling in my head thinking Marassa Nice.
Nah, Bayern are playing Villarreal,
yeah.
But the Bayern tie is not on.
We're
Chelsea
not on
side
our side. Yeah, we're not playing Bayern. We don't beat Bayern to like the final side. Yeah, we're good. Whoever we play, I know. I think it's not Liverpool, is it? It's Man City or Atletico
Madrid.
Yeah. That's why I'm gassed. That's why I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm all right.
So if you do make it to a semi final again, do you see Chelsea going to Paris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against City or Atleti?
I said yes.
Are you sure?
I said yes. Yeah, I see it. I think over two legs, we can beat Manchester City, and we've proven that we can beat Atletico, who I think are a weakened side right now anyway. So, yeah, across two legs, we can do it, and then see you in Paris.
Against Bayern or Liverpool?
Against Liverpool, bring me Liverpool. And then I'll show you guys, we'll come back here, I'll tell you guys where we are in the ranking. Bring me Liverpool. Yeah, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not.
You know Liverpool will win that tie, right?
I don't think so.
European heritage.
I don't care about their heritage. We've dismantled Real Madrid before. They have the best European heritage. We can do it against Liverpool. I even tweeted it. I want Liverpool in that final for Carabao Cup redemption. It won't be Michael Oliver and them man officiating, bro. It's not going to be them. So let's get them in the final and you'll see. Don't worry.
Do you want them in the FA Cup final too then?
FA Cup final? It's still going to be Michael Oliver and them man officiating. So I don't want them in the FA Cup final.
So you're solely losing because of the referees?
Yeah. Yep. I literally said it. I said it that we had a goal. We had a goal with Lukaku.
It wasn't given though.
Exactly. Because these people here, the officials here that we can all agree are questionable.
Okay. Let's pack Chelsea up in a bundle. We've spoken about that.
You'd love to pack Chelsea up
FA
in a bundle.
FA Cup semi-final to look forward to. But now to the international break. The England squad. When is Southgate going to do what he said and reward players based on form? Anyone want to take this one? Why on earth is Harry Maguire in the England squad?
I don't think it's that deep, personally.
Why do you think
he's
leaving?
I'm sorry.
The semi-final and also the final in the Euros. So
Raheem Sterling led England to a semi-final.
No, I mean, it's whack. Like, I'm not on his side. Like, I don't agree at all.
Based
on merit, it's not fair. Like,
The whole thing in terms of form is, like, it applies to certain players.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be... Yeah. He's not going to just
give it to every single player who's in form and get rid of like the core of the team.
Yeah.
And especially the core of the team that's definitely going to be in the World Cup. Like, Maguire's going to be in the World Cup.
No matter what we think, yeah, he's going to the World Cup. Yeah. Like, he'll be in Qatar. He's going in there.
I can understand, like, Tomori, like him losing out to someone like Mings. I get the anger about that. I'm like, that's crazy. But I'm like, Maguire's what, like, captain the team before? Like, he's going to be in the World Cup. He's going to be on that plane. But, like,
The thing that, like, England sort of does every sort of major tournament around the squads, where they pick people based on the fact that they haven't completely disgraced themselves for England, even though they've been opening their legs every week in the Premier League. It's insane.
Even in Greece.
Do you guys not
Let's not forget that.
Do you guys not think, then, that it's disheartening to the other England internationals that are performing, given that Maguire's form for Manchester United has been shocking.
It's disgusting.
But he knows in the back of his mind, no matter how shocking he performs for Manchester United, he still gets that call up. And then there's people who are overlooked, like the likes of a Tomori, that have been playing their heart out. AC Milan are fighting for a title. They've kept clean sheets in something like 5-6 games. And he doesn't get the call up. How is that fair?
I think Tomori, like, if Tomori continues, I think he'll be on that plane in the World Cup, though.
I think right, with managers in general that manage internationally, they are always going to have their core players that they will always take. And that's just the fact of every single manager that manages internationally. Those players that you can kind of rely on, reliability is everything for when you want to take your team to the Euros or to the World Cup. Like, if you can rely on the Harry Kane, Declan Rice, Harry Maguire, you take that spine with you, and that's how you're going to carry it on. The argument is more for Tyrone Mings, like, yeah, you said, like Tyrone Mings, Connor Cody. It's facts, though. And that's where the arguments are all around. Like, you can argue for, I don't know, Reece James, Trent, who's going to be starting type of thing. You can argue Chilwell's probably not going to be going. But if he was, Chilwell, sure. Like, those type of things you can argue. But if you shouldn't waste your breath with the Harry Maguire thing. Don't waste your breath.
Would you not say then, it doesn't make sense more so for the fact that these are friendlies? They're not, you're not competing for anything.
But
people have been playing their heart out, and it's their dream to get the call up for England. Surely you can reward them for some friendlies though, that don't, like, mean anything.
Gwehi, how you say it?
Gwehi.
Like, he's been called up. There's, I swear, a few others too. Because, like, Sancho got left out, so I'm like, there must be some
Sancho
spaces.
Got left out.
I just think, honestly, that
shady. You're shady.
Saka's going.
Saka's on the plane. Emil Smith-Rowe's on the plane.
Utility player.
Sancho will be on that plane.
Sancho has to be on that plane. He has to be.
I don't know. I just think. I think you get to a point where you have to do, like, you have to take stock of what's going on. And I understand, like, you're talking about the spine thing. I agree. Like, if a player hasn't let you, but, like, do you wait until the player lets you down? Because how do you, in good conscience, build a spine that includes Harry Maguire and we're not supposed to cuss you? It doesn't matter how much Harry Maguire hasn't allegedly let England down in internationals. He's not good.
But the thing is, it's kind of like Aaron Ramsdale having a bad game or a bad few games or a bad season at Arsenal. Do you expect, or no, Jordan Pickford, for example, not having a greatest Everton season, do you expect Gareth Southgate to drop him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. And do you know what the difference is, right? Let me tell you the difference. Look at Spain. Look at the reputation that David De Gea has. Mm-hmm. He's not in the squad. That is the difference between
him and different manager as well.
And he, like, De Gea messed up and in, was it Euros, World Cup, was the one against Portugal.
It doesn't matter. The things that I'm showing, right? Luis Enrique has the balls to make the decision that he should
but
make.
But is Luis Enrique not a new manager for Spain, though?
So?
The thing is, that's the thing.
Spain have more weight on their shoulders than England do. What the fuck have they done?
No, but that's the thing, right? in this is just how I see it. New manager equals end of an era, clean slate. Every, no matter what, yeah, we can look at that Spain side and say that they got a lot of weight on them and everything, right? But their expectations in the Euros that just went now, they exceeded their expectations. You can ask any Spain fan, they exceeded their expectations because it's a clean slate. Until Gareth Southgate goes, I don't expect him to drop Harry Maguire, to drop Pickford, to drop Harry Kane, because that's big balls energies for players that
for me,
you
Harry
out.
Kane, Harry Kane, I understand. Harry Kane is world class. He's clutch, a world man. Class striker. So even when England fans were calling on, oh, Harry Kane shouldn't be starting at the Euros, he's been this, he's been that. Cool, that's Harry Kane. We're talking about Harry Maguire here. Like, the guy, shit!
I don't excuse him.
And you know, like, as well, I think I'll give Pickford even more of a leeway than Harry Maguire, because Pickford has been solid for England for a long time.
But he's actually been solid forever. And, like, other than the mistake against Spurs, like, this season, he's actually had a very, like, it's not been on him.
But since we were talking about, like, form... for England, and he has been solid for Everton as well, regardless of where Everton are. Because, like, for example, when we've seen other keepers and we've seen other players that have been sort of not necessarily near relegation, but still, like, sort of being picked for England. But because he has a reputation, he'll retain his place for sure. What has Harry Maguire done ever to get this sort of automatic inclusion into an international squad that's just come off the back of a Euros final? That's mad. It's insane.
I blame Man United too. Not that I blame Man United in that they went and captured someone, any guy that came from Leicester and wherever else he played for. I feel like that too has added to his. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that has added to.
If he wasn't playing for United.
If Harry Maguire was still Leicester captain, do you think he has this stronghold in the England team?
That's I don't think so.
Probably not.
That this week.
Probably not.
Would he be starting for Leicester?
Yeah, he would.
Leicester's defense is shambolic. Shambolic. I don't know. I just feel like Harry Gareth Southgate's made his mind.
Yeah, I think I get it, to be honest with him. I think he gets.
England will never make it.
But I think he gets. Like in the Euros, for example, that just went. There was a game. I think it was against Scotland where Maguire didn't play. Like, because Maguire was injured at the beginning, wasn't he? Of the tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
England looked bad without him. Like, and against Scotland, they were bad.
When did we look solid throughout the tournament?
They were shaky.
We were shaky the entire tournament. We could just score more.
I remember Scotland wasn't one of our better games though.
And also it's like in terms of like to replace him, like, because it was Mings playing. Mings is Mings, isn't it? Like, and I just think that I do think Tomori should be given a chance, like, now, in the sense of to build him up to be that main guy with Stones.
He should have chosen Nigeria because they're disrespecting
him. No, they really are.
But I just feel like there's got to be some consistency in the back line, and I think until Maguire is not performing at England, then he'll get that consistency.
But considering the timing of the World Cup this year, is it reasonable to expect him to suddenly pull, like, some international form out of wherever to play well for England?
I think, but England play differently as well. It's like, I don't know if you can really always compare it. And international football's different too. It's like, you're going to play a lot of teams that actually aren't as good as most Premier League teams that you play.
That one's above us, man.
And
England
is.
Don't play like a particularly high line either. Like, his, like, he doesn't need to track back and, like, run back and, yeah, like, his slowness. Whereas like when it comes to Man United, that's exactly exposed a lot. Like,
yeah,
how
I was gonna
slow
say
he
England, he's really like, it covers all his, like, all his flaws. He's quite covered. Yeah.
For England, he looks solid. I hate to say it.
I think it's because of how they play though.
It's because of how they play.
And also set pieces, they just rely on, like, that big
slab. That big head.
Trent and James out of the England squad.
As they should. I don't know why
Pulled James out.
I don't know why Southgate put James in there. James has been injured for a couple of weeks. Like,
Connor Cody. I think Connor Cody is more deserving of his call-up than Harry Maguire. I'm so sorry.
That's facts.
Wolves defend better than Manchester United.
Yeah. Apart from against Leeds.
Another one. Jordan Henderson. Bin him. And this is England's problem.
But it's heritage, though.
It's heritage.
What is he there for?
Do you know what? Do you know what? You need...
Also, okay. In that position, how many solid centre mids do they have?
Rice and Phillips. That's good enough.
Phillips has been injured for like much the whole season. He's not going to be able to play. Like,
and also contingencies. Like, who else? Contingencies. So let's say Rice and Phillips can't play every single match. Contingencies.
So then you've got Ward-Prowse and Mitchell Mount.
As a deeper role, Henderson's going to play a deeper role than Ward-Prowse.
Mitchell Mount. I ignored that. I ignored it. No, because Mount got 2 assists anyway just yesterday, so nothing mid about that.
I saw on Twitter, actually. He's contributed 20 GA this season.
Yep.
And 12 of it came against Forest. I mean, sorry, who did you play? Who did you play? Middlesbrough, Watford, Norwich, and another FA Cup. Who did you play before this in the FA Cup?
Can't recall.
Who?
I don't recall.
You don't recall? You don't recall you played in the Plymouth. FA Cup? Plymouth. Argyle. These are the teams that are here on Soccer Saturday.
Why
do
I say Plymouth Argyle?
That's how I hear them on Soccer Saturday. So that's where Mason Mount performs. Can you tell him to start performing for his country? His country need him.
That's Gareth Southgate's call to make. But regardless, Mason Mount starts in that team, so it is what it is.
Big game player.
Big game player.
I mean, apart if he actually turned up in the big game, they would have won the Carabao Cup final. Anyways, let's move on. Enough about England. Anita.
Hello.
Speaking to your heritage here, Nigeria, Ghana, World Cup qualifier coming up.
Yep.
No Ndidi.
Yep.
But you do have Osimhen back available. Yep. Do you see Nigeria and Qatar in 2022?
I mean, I don't see Ghana there, so Nigeria. I think Nigeria is gonna. I don't want to say they're gonna walk it, but I do think that we've got a little bit more quality and more togetherness with us at this moment in time. Like, yeah, we lost to, who did we lose to? It wasn't Morocco. It was Algeria. Yeah. Was it Algeria?
Did you not lose to Salah and them, man?
Was it Egypt? It wasn't Egypt.
You lost to one of them.
Was it not Algeria?
I don't remember.
No, Algeria didn't make it.
No,
Tunisia.
Tunisia, sorry. Forgive me. I just got the names mixed up. I do think that we have a lot more cohesion and a lot more togetherness, and it's just about getting that quality and kind of bringing that quality together and finishing our chances. And across two legs, I think we'll be able to take Ghana. Ghana, they look like they eat too much fufu. Like, they just don't look like athletes right now. Obviously, Thomas Partey aside, take heart, sorry guys. But they just don't look like athletes right now. And that's how I'm seeing this match going into it. Like, I see Joe Aribo turning up. I see Osimhen turning up. I'm just thinking, like, what can truly stop Nigeria from winning this time?
The goalkeever.
The greatest goalkeeper in the world, in my eyes. I don't see anything wrong with that man of God.
He lets in some...
He can let me in. How about it?
Wow. Okay. Let's move on. Marva. Mm-hmm. It's been a... You know what? Let's start with the positive. You won against Newcastle in, what was it, like 15 minutes of added time? Something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Alex Iwobi keeping Everton's Premier League.
Before we even go into that, how did that guy get on your pitch? The one that wanted to choke himself to death?
I don't know. Like, where were the stupid...
I don't know.
He matched the cable time, so...
Yeah. Anyway. He had a point in it.
This is like rude.
He got us the extra time, which got us the goal.
Shout out to
that protester.
So, Iwobi of the goal against Newcastle. A huge 3 points for Frank Lampard. And then today in the FA Cup, a 4-0 defeat to Patrick Vieira and Crystal Palace. Talk us through your... If that was Everton's one shining light in a terrible season.
I don't know if it was, like... The players didn't care about this game. Like, you could see it. They were playing at, like... Even Lampard said they were playing at, like, 70% today. Like, realistically, we were going to go to Wembley. We're not going to win the cup. Like, I think the players knew that. Alan's out because of that stupid red card, which we'll get into. But... we don't have a midfield without Alan, and then like Van der Beek's cup tied, so our midfield is just a mess. And then like our mentality, I've said this so many times this season, it's like we started well that game, we started well against Palace, and then letting like one stupid goal, two stupid goals game's done. Like, their whole mentality just goes out the window. I said at halftime, I was like, it's going to be 4-0. And it was, like...
At least for the third goal, wow.
I mean, that was just fluke. Like, I don't know. That
it wasn't
third
a fluke.
Goal
was, the kid's
that
talented.
Was fluke. That was fluke. It just came off the post in a weird angle. But, yeah, it's like, the cup's the cup. Like... The whole time, even today, we were like, oh, yeah, we've got a chance to go to Wembley. It was like, no one's even been focusing on it because it's just, it doesn't matter. Like, the league matters right now.
I think your relegation battle has taken away.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in your relegation battle,
yeah,
trip to the London Stadium.
Yep.
A trip to Turf Moor.
Yep.
Man United at home. Crystal Palace and ours being postponed because they made FA Cup semi-final. Then Leicester City and a Merseyside derby.
Yeah, we still got to play Chelsea at home.
Then
as well.
Chelsea home, Leicester City away. So Anfield away, Chelsea home.
Jesus Christ.
Then you go Leicester away, Brentford, who could be in and about the mix. And then your last away day is a trip to the Emirates. Do you see Everton surviving in the Premier League?
I'm still not confident, I'm going to be honest. Like, I still don't think we're going to survive right now. Just because of, like, even after... Like, I felt like everyone was happy after that Newcastle game, which rightly so, but I think that was more a case of if we'd lost that, then relegation was certain. Whereas, like, winning that didn't mean we're safe. It just meant, like, all right, we've still got, like...
Hope.
Yeah, we've still got hope. But the fact that we're still not winning away, we've won one away game still all season, like, we've lost 10 out of our last 12 away games. And the teams that we still need to play in and around us, so Burnley and Watford, those games are away. And I'm just like, and then the teams as we have to play at home are still like Chelsea, United, I say Palace, but it's like, to be honest, any team above like 17th is a struggle for us right now. So it's like, it is what it is. So I'm not confident. And I don't know. It's just shit. This whole season is so shit. Like,
that's so sad.
Do you think Frank Lampard was the wrong appointment?
I don't know who the right appointment was at that point. We'd let it go too late. We'd like...
But at that point, do you not bring in, like... I know it's
like
really, like, cliche. You bring in a Big Sam.
We've done him already.
You bring in, like, a Pardew. Someone that has
I don't think Pardew would do it. Pardew,
yeah.
I don't think
what can
like
he be up for? Does he even have a job? You bring in someone that, even like a Tony Pulis, someone that knows what that scrap is like in the Premier League just to ensure your safety. Like, you lot have spent crazy amounts of money on stupid transfers.
But even with that, you look at our January transfer, we still let Benitez take the reins on that. We spend like over 20 mil on two fullbacks who aren't ready to play in the Premier League yet. Mikulenko and Nathan Patterson. Like, the decision, it's not, like, as much as we can blame Lampard's tactics for some of the games, I'm like, it's way beyond him. Because we spent our whole January budget on two fullbacks who aren't ready to play in the Premier League. And they were Benitez's choices, only to then sack Benitez and give Lampard, like, a day to bring in, like, two people on loan. Like, that's not his fault. That's terrible decision-making by the board, and it's been like that for the last, like, 5 years.
You lot might as well have kept Benitez, to be honest.
No, because he would have got rid of like some of our best players still.
I feel like Benitez would have gone missing that season. He would have gone missing.
His safety was better for him to go. And not only that, but I'm just like, in terms of football, I get it and I get the argument, but in terms of like he's at fault in the sense he got rid of our two most creative players last year who got our most assists, our most key passes were James Rodriguez and Luka Digne. Where are those two now and who is that because of? Benitez just had beef with them and got rid of them. If we had those two players now, I honestly don't think we'd be in this position right now. And that was just, and I feel like if we'd let it go any longer, he would have fallen out with Richarlison, fallen out with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of any other players I like. Calvert-Lewin, like, other than that, he could have fallen out with pretty much anyone else. No one cares.
John Tomori Grape, I'm confused. What about him?
He's been injured. He has been good, but he's been injured. So he's come back now and he's still, like, on the ropes a bit. Like, we have been so unlucky with injuries. Like, it's just a joke. But
Calvert-Lewin doesn't deserve this, man.
He doesn't.
Pre-boy tax can't take you everywhere, man.
Listen, he got the assist for Iwobi, yeah. That was very important. And that beautiful face of his.
I don't even think Richarlison deserves this. Like, Richarlison
missed his grandpa's funeral to play against Newcastle. That's how much he loves that club. He does not deserve this. Like, no one, like, the fans don't deserve this. No one deserves this. It's just the board have just fucked us over, basically.
Well, let's hope that a staple of the Premier League don't end up in the Championship come the end of the season.
You guys have never been relegated.
Because obviously Usmanov, like, I don't really know what the situation was before. Like, what are you guys going to do when it comes to transfers and stuff? Like, you have the money there still, or...?
Yeah, it's basically, so they weren't shareholders or anything. They were just, like, sponsored loads of our stuff. So it's like, you just have to replace where those sponsors coming from. It might mean that you don't have as much income because they were paying crazy amount of money. It was like every single thing was sponsored. It was like training cones were sponsored by USM. Do you know what I mean? It was, like, ridiculous. But it's not, like, completely detrimental. However, if we get relegated, like... generally where our finances are right now, I'd be worried. I don't think we'd come back up, like, genuinely.
Liverpool fans watching this with a smile.
Devil's club.
But yeah, let's, as I said, let's hope the staple of the Premier League don't end up in the Championship. We like tradition somewhat in this country, and Everton in the Championship just doesn't sit well with me. But yeah, guys, that's it from us for this week. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you in 2 weeks time.
Maybe.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.